You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January 11, 2021. This story would slip right by you, but I want to make sure I put it right in front of you. With all the politics and the arguing and the talk about impeaching Trump again, and the inauguration, all of that, don't want you to overlook this story. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un threatening to expand his nuclear arsenal and develop more sophisticated weapon systems, saying the fate of relations with the U.S. depends on whether it abandons its hostile policy. Of course, he's doing this now at a key meeting of his ruling party to put pressure on Joe Biden coming in. You think Joe Biden's going to get tough with him? Joe Biden's already indicated we'll go back to signing a deal with Iran, lifting sanctions against them. And who knows what Joe Biden's going to do for China. In the meantime, the theme of President-elect Biden's inauguration is America United. America United. The inauguration next week, January 20th, comes at a time of, quote, unprecedented crises, according to the Biden team. But we're going to reflect the beginning of this day of a path to a brighter future. Would that be like making America great again? No, well, they don't want to quite use that, but they will use it what they can. They're also going to install an American United Field of Flags public art display to represent each state and territory. Well, that's also good, and I'm glad. But I do remember some Democrat conventions where you couldn't even find the U.S. flag displayed anywhere. The National Park Service says it is suspending tours of the Washington Monument until January 24th due to credible threats from groups involved in the violence in the U.S. Capitol January 6th. Those groups, of course, would be Trump supporters. That's what they want you to believe and know. I will accept that the majority of those who are racing through the Capitol, causing the mayhem and chaos and threats that they did, were Trump supporters, although I have pretty sure belief. Let me put it this way. I have no proof. I just believe that others were mixed in with them. But I'm still not going to give a pass to Trump supporters who were there doing that. And don't forget, there were legitimate pipe bombs spread around different locations. And today, House Democrats, under the leadership of Nancy Pelosi, introducing their resolution to impeach President Donald Trump, charging him with, quote, incitement of insurrection for his role in last week's riots at the U.S. Capitol. I told you the other day, as that thing was breaking, we were on the air last Wednesday, Trump needs to get out and say something. I'm not hearing anything from him. He addressed the crowd and then said, we'll all march down to the Capitol building as they left this ellipse wherever they were to march down. And he got in the SUV and headed back to the White House, and then they went in and they started, some of them, going crazy. And Trump did not do enough to put an end to it, but I still would not blame him for it. They are grown adults. They're responsible for themselves. And if you're going to do that, should you blame Pelosi and the rest of them for all the riots over this last summer? Yeah, I would, but I know they won't. Meanwhile, two Senate Republicans, Murkowski of Alaska, Toomey of Pennsylvania, now calling on Trump to resign. Biden says, I'm going to let Congress decide all this. Cheap way out again, Joe. That's going to show us what kind of leader you are. But, of course, AOC saying, we want to hold Trump accountable for the riots at Capitol Hill. And, yes, we have to remove him. Remove him. And we cannot have an act of insurrection. We cannot allow it to happen again. Well, what about the acts of insurrection you allowed all throughout the last summer? The U.S. Police, Capitol Police Chief, who was in charge of the officers last week, who then resigned, said, actually, I did ask the D.C. National Guard to be on standby, but my request was denied. There'll be more in looking at that. And you talk about trying to tar everybody and paint everyone with the same brush. Listen to this. You know, many were calling for Senators Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, to step aside because they were challenging the electoral votes. That's allowable. That's not unconstitutional. They could do that. But you got 5,000 law school students and alumni signing a petition that Cruz and Hawley should be disbarred because they were exercising that constitutional right? Oh, the World Health Organization says it's going to send experts to China to investigate the origins of the coronavirus pandemic. Oh, now they're doing it. Now they're doing it? Months after all of that, and yet China is not going to let them into Wuhan. So in other words, don't expect a real investigation. It's another dog and pony show. I'm asking you to stand by to hear a pledge I'm making to you and other listeners. It's coming up after this break.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division. We have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people.
That was Donald Trump, November the 9th, 2016, after he had heard from Hillary conceding. In his remarks there, did you hear him condemn Hillary? Make any slurs about her or anything else? Yeah, he did during the campaign. And later when asked, well, what about lock her up? Lock her up. He said, we're not interested in that anymore. In other words, let's just kind of put it behind us. Let's move forward. That was his approach that night. But unless you watched it, you never saw it on the mainstream media because they were focusing on the resist movement that was born the very moment they realized he's going to win the damn thing. And they started the attacks at that point. Now here comes Biden. And Biden has said, I want to bring everybody together and unite. But he's keeping his mouth shut about this impeachment or even use of Amendment 25 to get rid of Trump. While Pelosi and the others are leading that charge, Biden, who supposedly is going to be the leader, is saying, I'm going to leave it to Congress. You have a voice. If you're going to be the leader, you already said in one of your debates, I'm the leader. I will decide what we are going to do. I don't have to listen to somebody tell me how we're going to do something. Well, apparently he is, again, waiting for somebody to tell him which way the wind's blowing. And this is his opportunity to step up and say, cease this effort to go after Trump. He's going to be out of office soon. Let's just be done with it. But no, no Nancy Pelosi. Do it again.
Well, I like the 25th Amendment because it gets rid of him. He's out of office. But there is strong support in the Congress for impeaching the president a second time. This president is guilty of inciting insurrection. He has to pay a price for that.
There she goes again. He's guilty of inciting insurrection. That's all in your interpretation. You do know that, don't you? Because there's not one word where he said, go down and riot and attack the Capitol. Not one word. He came the closest in saying before the event that day, it's going to be a wild, come be wild or something like that. And you can read into it what you want. Should he have said it? No. Should he have done more that day? Yes. Was it wrong by those who went inside wearing Trump hats and carrying flags, whether or not they were Trump supporters? Yes, it was wrong. But to lay it all at his feet? And Biden, if you really want to bind this nation, keep in mind, there are 70-plus million people in this nation that voted for him, and they still may have questions about the ballot box. I'm at the point now, it is done, the election's over. It's over. Now, we may still investigate and find out later on there was massive fraud, but right now, it's done. Let's try to move forward. And to that extent, I have a pledge I want to share with you. I posted this morning. Let me see the time on this thing. All right, it shows it was posted 9 hours ago. Help me with my math. All right, if it was at midnight, that's 5 and 2, that's 7. So what would that have been? 4 a.m., but no, 3 a.m., 12, 2, 5 a.m., is that right? So I'm like, my math is so bad. I told you in the third grade, we first had real math, and it's the longest 3 years of my life. But, all right, 7 hours from now, would have put it at midnight. That's still not right, because I know I was up at 4:30 this morning writing it. So anyway, let me read it. It's my pledge to you. I have and will continue to condemn last week's riot at the Capitol. But the left, Dems and progressives, socialists, aided by the mainstream media, will continue to weaponize the event against all conservatives and independents. It will be the new race card. It will be used to label you as members of a racist white supremacy cult, a terrorist threat to our nation. The label will be applied unjustly to minority men and women, who dare to publicly support and campaign for Trump. It'll also be used as a reason to strip away your constitutional First Amendment right of free speech and peaceful assembly and other rights. It will be used to shame you into silence, maybe force you to beg for forgiveness, though you had nothing to do with the Capitol riot, and you've openly criticized the event. For years, it will be thrown in your face over and over. It will be used to ignore all the things that Trump accomplished in 4 years. A roaring economy, record low unemployment for black Americans and Latinos, prison reform benefiting mostly minority inmates, reduced illegal immigration, fight for the unborn, bridge historic new relations between Israel and Arab nations, increase sanctions against Iran to reduce funds for terrorists and nuclear weapons, force North Korea to back down from its nuclear threat, pressure other countries to pay more to UN and NATO, improving trade agreements between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, force China to accept better trade relations, and so many other things that Obama Biden did not do in 8 years. And, of course, the Capitol riot will be used to deflect any and all of the recent and numerous riots, looting, arson, and attacks on law enforcement. The same acts of violence which were excused, accepted, even encouraged by leftists. They have no right to such high moral ground. The Trump administration is over. But remember this. Americans who love our country and who do not want misguided and in some cases maniacal actors and laws to transform our great nation should be courageous, resilient, yet lawful, and always honoring our Constitution. I pledge to you, as long as I can keep my program on the air, I will be honored to be your voice against those wanting to destroy our nation's founding principles while they hide behind hypocrisy and lies. I humbly ask for your continued support of my program and ask that you share with your family, friends, social contacts. And most of all, I ask for your prayers that God grant me the wisdom to serve you, our nation, and Him. Now, I have, since that thing got posted earlier today, it looks like something like 4,000 reach, almost 900 engagement, 115 comments, 60 shares. Those numbers really mean nothing to me except the fact that it struck a tone with some folks. And there are a lot of things that are praiseworthy for me on there. I could go through that. Oh, I might as well share some. My program, why not? Yeah, right, so I quit. I might as well. Elaine had written, "Thank you, Larry. I've read about this in the Bible. Never thought it hit the U.S. Thought it only happened in other countries. But here we are. No hope for our elections." Well, I pledge we're going to try to do our best for you on that, Elaine. Sherry, "I'm sorry, but negates everything. I'm not the left. I'm not the enemy. And I bet I'm like the majority of voters who rejected Trump, just as I don't condemn BLM for the subset of rioters. I don't blame all Trump supporters for the subset at the Capitol." Good for you. And Brian had, I think, raised a question the other day. "So, Larry, how does it feel to be responsible," or something like that. And I told him, I said, "I'm not responsible for any of that. I am responsible for saying I want a fair election." But I'm looking at some of the other things here, and I want to get into the name-calling, some of the responses. Patty wrote, "The hard truth so eloquently put." Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Gloria insisting President Trump will serve another 4 years. Gloria, with all due respect, dear, that ain't going to happen. Kim writing, "Thank you, Larry." Mark saying, "The election was carefully scrutinized, and all states certified the vote. Attorney General Barr, the president's right-hand man, said no fraud that would change the outcome." And the Senate's top man, the president's top supporter, Mitch McConnell, said the same thing, or words to that effect. You are correct. You are correct. I still have questions about it. I still have questions about it, but as I said, it's over. I still have questions about, dare I bring it up, O.J. Simpson case. But bottom line is, it's done. Darlene writing, "Communist supporters here." I think she's talking about some of the folks who are surfacing on my page. Chris saying, "Thank you, that was well said. I have a daughter willing to cut me." Here's something I do want to share with you. "I have a daughter that's willing to cut me and other family members out of her life because we voted for and support Trump. Praying, Larry, that you can continue to speak the truth about Trump and all the positive things." Well, Chris, I have a sister that I cannot discuss Trump with. She is so anti-Trump. I could have a conversation with her. She can at her side, and I love her. I have some very dear friends, long-term friends. I love them. And they absolutely hate Trump and blame him for the Capitol riot and everything. I've not had a discussion with him. Not going to. It would serve no purpose. I'm not going to lose close, loyal friends or my relations with my sister, nor should you, Chris, with your daughter, if you can keep it alive, over Trump and politics. Just not going to do it. We've got plenty of other things we can agree on, and let's look to those. Don't have relations just split apart. And if there is a split apart, it will be their decision, not yours. It will be my sister's decision, not mine. Or my friend's decision, not mine. And John wrote, "So persecuted." Thumbs up. I'm not sure who he meant persecuted to. I think I added, "It's time for prayer," which I added. And then Jonathan says, just like someone else said, "I learned to ignore everything before a but in a sentence." Kevin says, "We're in such scary times. Is this America?" Scott, "Thanks, Larry." Donna, "Nice to see one speaking the truth. I appreciate it." Darren writes, "You poor victims. Don't worry. Everyone feels sorry for you and your plight." My response on that to Darren is, who's a victim? I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not going to be a victim. It's like my friend the other day, looking at what happened off the election. He said, "Should we fly the flags upside down, sign of distress?" I said, "No, keep them right and high, raise them higher." Travis saying, "They are framing all of this, shutting it out of accounts, deplatforming of social media apps, response to President Trump. But if that were really the case, then why were they shutting down accounts and social media apps that don't belong to the president, and he's not even on, such as Parler?" Good point. I just try it again, because I heard, as you might have heard a moment ago on the news from our news source, saying that Parler is operating. You can go, they get online. Well, I just tried to open my app, and you know what it says? Well, let me see. The last thing I got was, must be overloaded, or you're having trouble of some type. It seems we are either over capacity or you're experiencing a poor network connection. Well, everything else seems to be working. And, yeah, Twitter's still there. And I'm not going to walk away from them. They can throw me off, and I'll document that they did, but I'm not going to walk away from them or Facebook. That's a connection with many of you. And you, I encourage you to do the same, but you do what you want. And then another one appreciating the remarks. Oh, Drew stating, thank you, Amazon, Google, and Twitter for getting rid of trash like Parler. Well, that sparked about 13 different replies. And so I added, so I guess you accept Twitter and the others are perfect. Twitter banning Trump, many conservative opinions, but willing to let the Ayatollah of Iran with death to America and hate speech from Farrakhan, Hollywood elites. Drew says, you can't compare what a foreign country says to what happened on Wednesday. I'm not doing that. Stick with the subject. I stuck with it. And some of the those responding are going after Drew. Don't attack folks. You can express your point, but just don't get attacked. Let's just show respect. I do agree with that. There are a couple more things I want to add along this line. And before we wrap up, we're going to talk about the issue of insurrection and who's responsible for insurrection. Not just at the Capitol last week. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So again, back to this response on Larry Connors USA Facebook and the pledge I made. There are a lot of comments that are praising me in the program, and I appreciate that. But I was mainly trying to make sure that we just cool down a bit. Cool down a bit. And let's be careful of the words we use. And yes, Trump was wrong in some of the words he used the other day, although I still would say you can't blame him directly for what happened at the Capitol. But he also is blamed for not doing anything to stop it. And the same thing for Joe Biden right now. If he really wants to bring the nation together, he shouldn't be saying, well, I'm going to leave it to Congress. No, if you're going to be the leader, step up and be the leader and say, stop it. Let's just put it aside. But he's not doing it. Maybe he will. Maybe he will before then. But as of today, Pelosi and the rest of them are moving forward to indict, and they're planning on actually presenting the indictment itself by the impeachment, I should say, by next, maybe tomorrow, maybe as early as tomorrow. And I told you already that you've got the Anti-Trump Lincoln Project that's been building a database of Trump officials and staffers going to hold those people professionally accountable because they support the president. My God, they were working for the president. And they, do you want to do that? Is that what we want to do in this nation? Go after everybody that supports Biden and find a way to cut them out and hurt them? No. A couple other comments that share with you real quick here. That one was, there's so many of them here. One of them in particular, this one says from James, thanks, Larry. I'm white, I'm proud, and American, ready to fight for my children's rights. James, everything you said, I applaud, but why add the race? The race makes no difference to me. You're an American and you're proud and you want to fight for your children's rights, that's different. But then he adds, even if it means civil war, let's don't do that. And he said, as they say, the South will rise again. Listen, I'm from Texas, I'm part of the South, but I don't want that kind of language. James, I think you and I could agree on that if we sat down and had a discussion with it. Mark wrote, I love the show, Larry. Have been a listener and supporter of yours for a long time, but, oh, he loved the but. You have agitators that post on your forum that need to be dealt with. Oh, he's talking about others, not me. Okay, I thought he's going after me. And Terry said, thank you, God bless you for not only speaking the truth, but for airing it. You are a rare breed now, journalists that no longer exist. You are appreciated. Terry, I appreciate that. But again, I'm not pretending to be a journalist at this point. I have an opinion. I express the opinion. I still try to deal with things. And I present, as you know, on this program, basically news stories with sound bites. And Quentin does a great job helping me pull them together. So it's a seamless type program leading into a sound bite, and you have a storyline. It's better to follow than me saying cut 4, cut 23, cut 19. For one thing, I couldn't remember the numbers, so we had to do it the way I set it up. But the bottom line is, I don't claim to be a journalist anymore. I have been, and I'm proud of what I did, and I still have that basic fabric. But at this point, I have an opinion. This is an opinionated show. And I have a lot of folks who agree with me strongly one time and disagree with me another time. That's fine. That's America. And I would not shut you down from my Facebook. I have not kicked anyone off Facebook unless they begin to use obscene language or go attacking someone else in a not just unkind way, but a vicious way, a vile way. Otherwise, it's up there for you to make your response one way or the other. I don't shut you off. I've been telling you that there are some things that have been worrying me about our nation, where we're going. And this has nothing to do with you being a political stripe one way or the other, but are we going to protect this nation, the fabric of the nation, what we were founded on, what we stand for? And yes, we have some terrible parts of our history, shameful parts, but we're still the beacon on the hill for many nations around the world. And reading through some of the minor prophets, Zechariah 7:13 says the Lord Almighty, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. I don't like that one bit, nor should you. The New York Times approach on where we're going from here. Coming up, stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We have to understand that what happened on Wednesday was insurrection against the United States. That is what Donald J. Trump engaged in, and that is what those who stormed the Capitol engaged in. And so when we talk about healing, the process of healing is separate and, in fact, requires accountability. And so if we allow insurrection against the United States with impunity, with no accountability, we are inviting it to happen again.
Now, those are the words of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman. Let's give her due respect. She's duly elected Congresswoman. And saying we cannot have this insurrection that was sparked by Donald Trump to go unchallenged. That's why we must impeach and remove him, even before Inauguration Day. And Joe Biden is staying silent, not saying anything about it. The theme of his inauguration? The theme of Joe Biden's inauguration is, and I kid you not, in quotes, America United. And he's going to talk about a new national journey to restore the soul of America and bring the country together. And yet he's keeping quiet at this point when you've got numerous Democrats, Pelosi and others, and a couple more Republicans calling for the head of Donald Trump. They want a scalp. They want a scalp. You got House Democrat Chair Hakeem Jeffries saying the occupant of the White House is guilty of inciting sedition, treasonous. AOC saying basically the same thing, as does Pelosi. And we'll go back to this remark that Pelosi, having AOC, made just then. We cannot have insurrections like this. We just can't do it. Her point being, if we don't put a stop to it now, there will be more such things, and we cannot allow that. That's not what the country is built on, right? Well, I would agree with that. I would agree. But her statement regarding insurrections, if we allow insurrection against the U.S. to happen with impunity, with no accountability, we're inviting it to happen again. Well, now, let's go back to May 31st, 2020. Last year, May 31st, my birthday, I turned 40. Don't test me. Just accept me. Just accept me. But at the White House, they had a major demonstration. Always more than a demonstration. They were throwing bricks and attacking Secret Service police. Do you remember that? More than 60 Secret Service officers and agents were injured at the White House. From Friday night through Sunday morning, protests rocking D.C. It was all following the death of George Floyd. The officers and agents injured, protesters throwing projectiles, bricks, rocks, bottles, fireworks, and other items, physically assaulting, kicking, punching, exposing officers to body fluids. CNN teams were there witnessing a lot of it. 11 Secret Service employees had to be transported to the hospital. Non-life-threatening injuries, thank goodness. No one was able to cross the White House fence, so they held the line. But that was an insurrection, a riot, what do you want to call it? It was not a peaceful assembly. And that was more violent in one fashion than what we had in the Capitol the other day. Although I will still cite the Capitol incident as shameful because it's the hall of our government, our House and our Senate. And they did not get into the White House, but they got into the Capitol. So no, it's wrong. Do you remember all the sounds of the violence we had over this last summer?
George Floyd!
I can't breathe!
I can't breathe!
Hands up!
Don't shoot!
Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Black America is grieving right now. We've been grieving.
Now, some of those in the streets on those events, they firmly believed they had a right to be there. They were justified. And they got support, endorsement, cover, apologies, explanation, excuses from the left. Kamala Harris even signing on to a program encouraging people to send money to bail out some of these people that were arrested during those events. And it turns out some of that bail money was going to folks arrested on drug charges and other things, not for the protests of the streets. But who cares? I mean, the bottom line is, if you're in jail, you must be there. You've got to let you out. But who signed the prison reform bill? Who signed the prison reform bill that set many minorities free and basically re-adjudicated their sentence that it was severely imposed, never should have been that strong? That would have been, it wasn't Obama. It wasn't Obama in his 8 years. He did not do it. Trump did in the first four. Violence in the streets is not to be accepted at any point. Violence in our capital, not to be accepted. I don't care who's doing it. I do not care about your color, your gender, your religion, anything. It's not acceptable. You have a right of peaceful assembly. I will defend that for you each and every day. I may not like what you're doing, but I have to defend your right to do it under a constitution. But the first brick that's thrown, the first firebomb, the first balloon full of urine thrown into a police officer's face, no. You have, at that point, you are involved in an insurrection. They're not trying to overthrow the government, the street on those things. I'm not trying to even make that claim. Yet the left will claim what happened in the Capitol the other day was a coup, an attempt to overthrow the government. They were not trying to overthrow the government. They were making their noise, and they were trying to make their point. I guess they thought that, you know, we may stop the election count at that point, which they did, but it still didn't stop anything. They did not try to overthrow the government. But here comes Jake Tapper of CNN over the weekend. And listen again to how he characterizes what happened last week.
After one of the darkest days in our nation's history, a coup attempt, no longer bloodless, instigated by the President of the United States. The images of this attack are so shocking that many of Trump's enablers are finally with just a few days left in his presidency, beginning to get the goddamn point that his continuous lies and humoring of racists and winks and nods to violent extremists are dangerous. Twitter and many other social media outlets have silenced him permanently. Members of his cabinet are bailing like rats from a sinking rat. Some of his closest allies on Capitol Hill are now trying to weasel their way out of their responsibility for the bloodshed.
And there was bloodshed. Obviously, we had a young woman shot to death as she was trying to go through a window side door at the Capitol. And I had a very difficult conversation with a good friend of mine, a guest on this program a lot last Friday. In case you missed it, you can go back to that program from last Friday. That'd be James Hurston. I value him. I respect him. And he was trying to say, well, the officer did not have to shoot. How many times have we heard that argument when an officer's in the street, especially if the suspect's black, the officer's white? The officer had other options. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the officer's just being a cowboy. Sometimes the officer's doing what he thought he had to do, or she had to do at that moment. In reflection, maybe there could have been something. Now, could they? I mentioned that day, could he have fired a warning shot? Yeah, but the bottom line was, she had numerous opportunities to stop before she started trying to go through that window. And James said, well, you could see her hands. She didn't have anything in her hands. She's got a backpack on. She's about to enter the House chambers. If she's got an explosive device in that backpack, would we have lost members of Congress in an explosion? She didn't have an explosive, but we didn't know. They didn't know at the time. You want to take that guess? What if it's your blood went inside the chambers at that moment? I feel for the woman served 14 years in the Air Force. I honor her for what she did. But at that moment, she was a criminal, not a patriot. And then you get into the incidents on the streets elsewhere across the nation. And they were using it. And you heard Jake Tapper say, let me get his quote again. I've got so much of this stuff here in front of you. You go, oh, you give me a moment? I don't know. We can't take too long, Larry. I'll find it for you. Here it is. Jake Tapper again talking about this event the other day and how he described it in his State of the Union program. The mob trying to intimidate, threaten, even kill the vice president, members of Congress, and then said this. They were beginning. The enablers are finally, with just a few days left in his presidency, Trump's presidency, are beginning to get the GD point. That is, continuous lies and humoring of racist and winks and nods to violent extremists are dangerous. So put that up against a remark from Nancy Pelosi. In an online video to her San Francisco area constituents criticizing the rioters that attacked Congress, she said, it's been an epiphany for the world to see that there are people in our country, led by this president, for the moment, who have chosen their whiteness over democracy. What? They chose their whiteness over democracy. Now, I chastised a moment ago. Somebody had written on my Facebook page, James, and said, I'm white and proud. Well, I said, you don't need to add that. Just say you're an American and proud. And Nancy Pelosi, you have to know racism exists on both sides, or all the multiple sides of racism. It's not just one. If you think you're superior to someone else or they're inferior because of a color difference, and you are a racist. And Martin Luther King said, do not let your color, your skin, define you. But here's Nancy Pelosi claiming that those protesting were choosing whiteness over democracy. And now big tech doing its job to silence folks and making lists and checking it twice to see if you're on it. That story. When we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of high. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh. Heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry Connors. Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the morning slap in the face I get every day is a email from New York Times, and it's writer David Linhart telling me what I should expect in the New York Times and how to shape my world. He says, good morning. The biggest question isn't impeachment, it's disqualification from future office. He goes on and talks about the effort to impeach Trump, even though his term will expire 9 days from now, and admitting even the most rapid conceivable Senate trial would cover much of that time, but also adds that a Senate trial can happen after January 20. It's not going to. Well, no, I need to withdraw that, because it'll be a 50-50 in the Senate, and you know who has a casting vote. All right. But it also, in this piece, goes on to talks about there is a significant chance Trump could win the presidency again in 2024. He remains popular with many Republican voters, and the Electoral College currently gives a big advantage to Republicans. If he's not disqualified from future office, Trump could dominate the Republican Party and shape American politics for the next 4 years. They are so afraid of the man, and they're really more afraid of you, to be quite honest. And as I mentioned earlier, we got big banking groups shutting down PACs that would be contributing to any Republican conservative group trying to shut off the spigot. We got Parler being shut down totally, although they say you could still go on to Gmail or go on some web rather than find it. But on my Parler, it's not working. And they're threatening Twitter. And, of course, they've taken Trump off of that and Facebook. And I still say if they want me off, they're going to have to kick me off, because I'm not going to give them the privilege of walking away. But Ben Dominick, who is the Federalist, is warning against, quote, the dominant force of big tech companies in the wake of suspending permanently Trump's account and Amazon suspending Parler from its cloud hosting service. Ben Dominick says they can undermine and they can behave in totalitarian fashions in ways that, frankly, smack of the kind of approaches that we've seen in places like China and Russia. That's something I think we ought to really be scared of when we see these massive corporations, the most powerful ones that ever existed in the world, coming together to make a political statement. To get off the most popular Republican in terms of vote that we've ever seen, that's something that should bother all of us. I second that. But let me give you another source. Glenn Greenwald is a left-wing journalist. I repeat again, a left-wing journalist. And he's talking about the censorship of the New York Post on the Hunter Biden laptop back in October, and now Twitter banning Trump and suspension of right-leaning social media site Parler. He said, tech monopolies, FB, Facebook, Google, Apple, Amazon, have more concentrated wealth and power than any in history. They have used brute force 3 times in 3 months to manipulate U.S. policies, censoring the New York Post, banning Trump, destroying Parler, and liberals are overwhelmingly supported. That's from a tweet from Glenn Greenwald, left-wing journalist. And then he adds, authoritarians never believe they're authoritarians, no matter how much censorship, surveillance, jingoism, and imprisonment they demand. And he goes on to warn, the Biden administration coming in, and those supporting Biden and in the left, he said, these menaces to political freedom and economic well-being are not just limited to going after the right wing. If your wing does not go the way they want, they can use it against you. And Glenn Greenwald again, a liberal journalist, left-wing journalist, says, what will happen once Trump is gone? The strategy has always been clear, to inflate the risk of what they call white supremacist terrorism, which increasingly means nothing more than being a Trump supporter and then treating people in the U.S. who fall into that category the way you treat terrorists. And I told you earlier, I think the most vulnerable will be the black Americans who supported Trump, the brown Americans who supported him and stood up behind him and were pictured and everything else and voted and campaigned for him. And now they got to worry, am I a target now? Not from the right, from the left. I've shared with you previously the confessional prose that came out of the post-war by a German Lutheran pastor. Edited versions have been around since the 1950s. Part of one appears on the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. First, they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. My friend, that should sound an alarm bell for all of us, regardless of your political stripes. The country founded on tolerance and freedom, expression, and now you're going to shut down some avenues just because you don't like it? Not a good idea. I remind you of our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.